The first scripture reading is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. In that lesson, Moses reminds Israel and us that it is God who sustains our life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Reading at verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsting ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who led you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you. Do you do you good in the end? Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your forefathers, as it is to this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. So you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord. In Philippians 4, 6 to 13, Paul delivers the message of joy from a prison cell. His joy in such circumstances comes from a firm understanding of God's purpose for his life and his belief that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 11. Here we learn that the blessings of God are more than wealth or health. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. A portion of my text for tonight is your Old Testament reading, and in particular, the very first verse. "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, I command you today." This is our text. We've gathered together to offer praise and thanksgiving to God on the eve of our national holiday of Thanksgiving. But what does it really mean to give thanks? Believe it or not, that's not a universal concept. For instance, the English word, which is to give thanksgiving, actually comes from the same root word as the word think. Think about it a little bit. Think, thank, they're pretty close. In the origin of the English word to give thanks, you could just think about it. You could kind of feel grateful in your heart, have a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling, and you would be thankful. Unfortunately, it's a lousy translation of the Hebrew and Greek words that appear as thanksgiving in English translations, but have a far different meaning. The Hebrew word from the original language of the Old Testament, most often translated with the word thanks or thanksgiving, is yada. Let's all say that together on three. I'll repeat it. Yada. And then 1, 2, 3.
Yada.
Yada had nothing to do with thinking. Oh, it may be rooted in thoughts that you have. But it literally meant to throw out your hand, to openly and publicly, if you will, to express praise for something wonderful that had happened to you. And you know, it's somewhat rooted in human nature. You know, go to a Hawkeye game. Let's say we're down 5 points with 3 seconds left. They kick a field goal or score a touchdown. Look at the crowd and see what's happening. Is anybody in their seats? No. Yada! Their hands are out, rejoicing. You don't have to teach them to do it. It just sort of comes naturally. Interestingly, yada is not always translated with the word thanksgiving. In different contexts, it's translated with the word to confess, to openly and publicly state something. So you see, yada is really a lot different than what the English word thanksgiving really meant. In the New Testament, which was written in Greek, you have a similar situation. The word that most often translated as thanks or thanksgiving had a different meaning. It was to give grace. You did something that blessed me. I'm going to remember that. And when sometime you're in need, this is kind of a lengthy concept, but I will also be gracious to you. That's how it was understood in the New Testament period. It wasn't thought of as an obligation, but it's what you do in response to others when they do something nice to you. So I'd like to go back to our Old Testament lesson today. As Moses has gathered together the congregation of Israel for one last time before they enter into the promised land. This is his final address. He's recalling for them all the blessings God has given to them. It's 40 years they were wandering in the wilderness, and how he brought them out of Egypt and fed them with miraculous water and miraculous food. And he wants them to remember God. But note how remembering is not just, if you will, an act of the head. Listen again to Deuteronomy 8:11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God. Well, how do we forget him? By not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Remembering God was not just keeping something in your head. Oh yeah, I remember what I learned in Sunday school. Remembering God was an activity. It's something you confessed through the way you lived out your life. Remembering God and all his blessings, if you will, to truly give biblical thanksgiving to God, is not just a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the life that we lead. It's a response which can be seen by anyone. The gifts, the promises God has made to us. We've gathered together tonight, and in a little bit we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Interestingly, the Lord's Supper is known by a lot of different names. Sometimes we call it the Lord's Supper. Sometimes it's called the Sacrament of the Altar. But there's another interesting name for what we're about to do. It's sometimes referred to as the Eucharist. How many of you have ever heard the term Eucharist? Well, just about all of you. That's good. You know what it means. It comes from that Greek word I was talking about earlier. In fact, it's almost exactly that Greek word. Eucharisto. The New Testament word. Which is translated to give thanks. But it had so much more meaning than that. Why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Because Jesus said, do this to remember me. Think about Deuteronomy again. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Do this to remember me. Normally, we don't think of the Lord's Supper as a law that we have to keep. But it is a command of Jesus. He wants us to not just remember his death on our behalf, in our hearts and in our heads. He gave us a way to outwardly show, to confess what his death and resurrection means. It is the Eucharist, Feast of Thanksgiving, whereby our activity demonstrates not just to us, to others, the blessings we acknowledge through the death and resurrection of Jesus on our behalf. We literally and physically eat his body and drink his blood. We do this to remember him. But in our world today, Thanksgiving has often been separated from any real kind of action, any real kind of public confession. Ever hear somebody say, well, yeah, I believe, but I keep my faith to myself? That's not a biblical thanksgiving for what you received. Well, yeah, I believe, but, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Jesus said, this is how you remember me. Do this. Faith is not just remembering what we learned in Sunday school. True thankfulness is what you see in the Samaritan in our gospel lesson for today. Now, to be a leper in that era, well, it was kind of a death sentence, but a long-term one. And you not only were afflicted in your health, you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were basically cut off from your family and friends. You couldn't step foot in town. You had to live by yourself in the outskirts or in the company of other lepers. It was an emotionally and physically agonizing way of life. And I don't doubt that when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, all of them were, at least by the English word thanksgiving, thankful. Grateful for what Jesus had done. That's not the faith that makes you well. Only the Samaritan is biblically thankful because he confesses. He returns to Jesus, praising and giving thanks to God, because that's what thanksgiving is. That's what God built into us when he created us. It's what happens spontaneously when you're at a football game and the winning touchdown or field goal is kicked. You see what real thanksgiving, what real joy is like. People aren't just sitting down going, oh, that was nice. They're up in the air. They're throwing out their arms. They're yelling and screaming with others. Because we were not created to be alone. We weren't created to keep our thankfulness to God a secret. To be grateful to God only in our hearts. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes. Do this to remember me. The Eucharist. The great thanksgiving. It's not just a matter of the heart. True thanksgiving. The matter of the life that we live. The good news and joy in our Lord Jesus Christ that we share with one another. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.